둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's nice to do interviews with people that aren't stuffy.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you as always for making your way here, for checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. Three interviews every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, sometimes Saturday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists. Discover those new ones. You can grab us at all the usual spots. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And while you're doing that, don't forget to give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some fantastic guests on lately, including Prentice Penny from the documentary Black Twitter. Spike Ferriston, who co-wrote the movie Unfrosted with Jerry Seinfeld. Sarah Dowland, she's behind the documentary Sue Bird in the Clutch. We have Brent Smith from Shine Down Here, Katie Crutchfield of Waxahachie, Kevin Bacon dropped by, Scoot McNair, he's starring in the movie Blood for Dust with Kid Harington. Let's see, we had both Stone Gossard and Mike McCready from Pearl Jam here, Dave Wakeling of the English Beat, Beth Ditto of Gossip, Skeet Ulrich from Scream and Riverdale, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, comedian Matt Matthews. He's currently on his When That Thang Get the Thingin' tour, and we're going to talk about, well, so he had no aspirations to do stand-up, and I want to ask about that. He's going to take us back to his beginnings growing up as a young gay kid in Alabama while listening to Britney Spears and Joanna Newsom. He'll tell us about hitting puberty the week that he had to compete in a singing contest and what eventually drove him to getting laughs from his classmates. Matt's also going to discuss his knack for crowd work during his live show, the boudoir photography that he used to do, and the special that he's shooting this July. All that and more, again, talking about the When That Thang Get the Thingin' tour. It's Kyle Meredith with Matt Matthews.
Look, do you know how hard it is for people to pronounce that? I'm like, it ain't that damn difficult, y'all.
It's not. You know what it is? And by the way, it's not. I'm in Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky.
So it's
not like I can't hit it. It's that you put,
there's
so many tricky, it becomes tricky because of the to thing, you know, it's that.
Yeah,
it's that.
It's
when that thing get to thangin'.
There you go. There you go. Thang, it's a thangin'.
Any other time, I would have been really confident in that. And the moment you have to say it on camera, it just all goes to shit, right?
Every single time. You should see the people like when I'm in New York. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, when I'm in New York and I'm doing an interview, they're like, when that thing I'm like, girl, just stop. Just don't even try.
He's on tour. That's the important part. That's all you got to say. When that thing get to thinging, we got it. We're going to have it for the rest of the time now.
There you go. Perfect.
It's so great to have you on here. Hello.
Hello. Happy to be here.
It's been fun watching your success grow and grow, especially over the past year, really. And for what this, I don't know if you'd call it this personality that you developed, because I feel like it's a very honest personality. Like,
oh, it's 100%. It's always been me. There's definitely like no change in personality. Like, this is my everyday. I'm always this psychotic. So there's definitely no like persona that I'm trying to put on. I'm just this just ridiculous all the time.
Well, I mean, and that's great, because, you know, the best stuff comes from truth, as we've always, you know, with any kind of art. But it's interesting, because here you are and your road to success, the things I've learned about you, it's like, as a stand-up comedian or whatever you like, it is a version of stand-up, at least. Although I see it in this kind of Miss Maisel sort of way, you know, that's just, it feels off the cuff, but you, like, this wasn't on your self trajectory, right? Like, you didn't expect that you were going to be stand-up comedian.
Never. I never wanted to do stand-up comedy. I never watched comedy, to be 100% true to, here's my thing. I believe that we can only be who we are, right? Like, we can only be true to who we are. We have to be authentic. We have to keep it real. And I feel like so many artists don't do that. And so many people try to appease everybody. And I'm just here to be me. You know, if you like me, that's great. If you don't, well, you can kiss my ass. You know, and I just feel like at the end of the day, I cannot be anything but me. And so, to be completely honest, I'm not even a big fan of stand-up comedy. Like, I watch a lot of the stand-up specials and I'm like, when am I supposed to laugh? Like, where is the joke, you know? And so that was something that I really struggled with when I decided to start doing comedy was, and not every single person is going to think that I'm funny. Comedy's subjective. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Like, and that's totally fine. I'm very self-aware of that. But at the same time, I didn't want to do what everybody else is doing. I didn't want to get on stage and set up a punchline. I didn't want to get up on stage and tell a joke. What I wanted to do, and what I tell my audience, even when I'm standing on stage in front of 3,000 people, I'm going to tell them, I'm not here to tell you jokes. I'm not here to set up a punchline, but bump. Like, that's not what you're going to get from me. I'm not a typical stand-up comic. I am a comedic storyteller. I am just telling you my life. I'm telling you my stories, and I'm a funny bitch. So, you know, so like the way that I tell these stories is funny because it's just who I am. So me being on stage is the most natural thing that I've ever done, because I'm just up there running my mouth. You know, like, I'm not trying to set up a punchline. I'm not trying to tell a joke. I'm not trying to make a joke funny. I'm just telling you my stories, and it's relatable to people. And I think that's why people enjoy it so much.
I mean, anybody could be this anywhere, but I think, at least perception, I say this once again, coming from some version of the South, Kentucky's always had a bit of an identity problem with, are we South or Midwest or whatever, but there is something very Southern about being a comedic storyteller.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like that, that's what I said. Like, you know, how much of that do you think is because of where you are from versus, like, I would imagine, like, you're still there's at least a loose script that you kind of adhere to night after night.
Yeah. So my show is a show that I built, a show that I wrote. I mean, I have a 90-minute show, you know what I mean? And I perform and I put on a show. I don't get up there and just talk, you know, like, I do give a performance, and it is all about, to me, it's all about performing. You know, I see so many comics, and like, one of my things, and they may be funny, and it may be funny to some people, especially how they do it, but I see so many comics that just stand there and they just talk in just this monotone voice and they tell you their joke. And I'm like, where is the funny? Like, Where is the personality, you know? And so to me, I didn't grow up wanting to do comedy. I grew up wanting to do music. I sang my entire life. I did talent shows. I was in a band, you know, like music was what I always wanted to do, but I never pursued that because subconsciously I never thought that I was good enough. And so, but being funny was something that I was always good at. Like being funny was just natural. I didn't have to try to be funny. You know, I was always put out of the class for being the class clown. I was always, you know, getting in trouble for the things that I would say. And so being funny wasn't hard. I didn't have to worry about if I hit that note, people are going to judge me. Like they're going to think I'm funny regardless, you know? And so that was just an easy segue for me because I always wanted to do entertainment. I always wanted to be an entertainer. Like as a young kid, I performed for my teddy bears on my bed. You know what I mean? Like I used to line them hoes up on my bed and I'd be like, Birmingham, Alabama, you know, like I was so ridiculous. And my dad, like whenever they would have friends come over, my dad would always make me, I was always really good at like mimicking people and like, you know, like voices and things like that. And so my dad would always make me, I did an incredible Madea impression. Okay. Like I was spot on with, I was such a huge Tyler Perry fan. And so I could sound just like Madea. And so every time that my dad's friends would come over to our house, he'd be like, do the Madea, you know? So like they were always making me perform for their friends. And so when I'm on stage, I perform, you know, like I want to give them a show, you know, my entrance, the way I come out, you know, into the show is so different than every other comic, you know, like everything that I do about my show, I feel like is me. And it's just authentic to who I am. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, inventing a new wheel. I'm not saying that I'm the best by any means. It's just me. It's Matt Matthews. And at the end of the day, like I said, that's all you can be.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you. Even if your needs are unique, get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Matt Matthews.
Yeah, I love hearing that it really does come from the entertainer base too, because that does set the bar so much higher for everything that you do, music, comedy, whatever. What was the what type of music were you playing when you played?
So all kinds of stuff. So like, and it's kind of shifted, you know, like as you grow up, like things, your music taste changes. As a 10-year-old gay kid, I was obsessed with Britney Spears. I'd be in my room and be like, oh yeah, yeah. Like I loved some Britney Spears. I loved R&B. I loved, you know, I loved country music. I loved like indie folk kind of music. There was one point in like my teenage span of like, all I listened to was like indie songwriter, like folk kind of music, like Joanna Newsom. And who else did I love? I loved Marie Sue. She's like a native kind of, she's incredible. And I love her. I love Arborea was a big band that I liked. It was a husband and wife duo. A lot of these people are like very, very like kind of underground at the time. They're not very mainstream. So a lot of people didn't know about them. And I loved that kind of just like weird, like I loved that music.
Joanna's about to make a little comeback, I think. She doesn't perform much these days and she's about to do like a residency.
I was so obsessed with her. And my mom would not let me listen to her in the car because she hated her. She was like, her voice is so bad. Turn it off. I'm not listening to it.
Not for everybody, but man, like that's, I love her
but
too.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Like Mumford and Sons, love them. You know, like loved Fleet Fox, you know. And then I went through like a Misfits and, you know, Architecture in Helsinki, you know, like,
oh, that's
all
a great
this,
one. Yeah.
Like just really, really cool, funky music. I just love music, you know? So that was my big thing. I grew up, I took piano lessons as a kid. And then, as I got older, I taught myself how to play guitar. I've always been very musically inclined. So like, it doesn't take me long to learn how to play an instrument or, you know, and that's how I would learn how to sing. As I was growing up, I would mimic who I was listening to try to sound like them. And that's kind of how I developed being able to sing. And, my parents took me to there was a competition or like a singing, it was a AMTC is what it was called. It was Actors Music and Talent Competition. And I went and auditioned for it at like 12, 13. And I got called back and I went to the actual competition and your boy hit puberty like the week before. So I'm on stage and everybody's like raving about how beautiful my voice is and how good you are. And then I'm on stage and I'm like, ah, yeah, yeah. And so ever since then, I was like, I'm done. I quit.
Puberty defeated you.
It defeated me. And it's so funny because like I never posted me singing because I was always self-conscious about it. And then, you know, so now that I've have millions of followers, I'd never posted it. And now I have posted recently me singing and everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, we had no idea that you could even sing. And I'm like, hi.
Wasn't that the thing? Like, if you wanted to, like, now's how you start working that into your acts as a subversive way to live both, you know, dreams all at once.
Yeah, you know, and people have asked me that. They're like, will you please sing on stage? Like, we see you singing on social media. We love it. Will you please sing on stage? Like, we want an album. And, like, I could literally, I know my fan base is the most incredible group of people. They love me and they support me to the end of the earth. I could come out with an album tomorrow and they would all buy it. But it's just a singing to me is so much more vulnerable than being funny. And you know, like, you could comment on my shit all day and tell me I'm not funny and I'm gonna be like, bitch, yes I am. But you tell me I suck and I have a terrible voice, and then I'm gonna be like, damn, that hurt, you know? So it's just a scary thing. However, you know, I have kind of like tinkered with a couple things. Like on stage, there was like a moment where I did, there was a really pretty Mexican lady sitting in the front row of one of my shows, and I was like, you look like Selena, you know? And she just ate it up. And I was like, como la flor. And I sang like the whole Selena song in Spanish. And everybody's like, what? I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm singing. I'm just, my little gay ass loved Selena. So I knew every word to that song.
Completely phonetically though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but at the same time, like, I don't really want to get on stage and sing songs that are funny, because then it takes away from like actually having a voice and being a musician to me.
No, I was thinking of like I'm blanking on his first name, Van Ness from Queer Eye. I had him on and he was on tour, and I asked if it was going to be a comedy tour. He's like, I want to do gymnastics. So I created a tour so I can do gymnastics in front of people. Like, and the crowd is just like, I'm here for you.
They're here for
whatever
you
want on stage. Yeah. That's what I feel like would be the same. Now, I did want to ask, though, you know, as you bring that up, talking to your audience, because your crowd work has become, you know, so much of a thing in itself. Like, you've got what you're doing on stage, but then that's where the jazz happens for every one of your shows. Is that something that came natural? Is that something that you found that you developed once you started this?
I've always been real quick. So, I mean, growing up, I was the gay kid. I was the gay kid that lived in the projects. You know, I had an alcoholic mom. So I was always bullied or like picked on or made fun of. So you had to be quick, you know, because I wasn't, don't get it twisted, I wasn't the gay kid that you were going to bully and hurt my feelings. And I was going to be like, I was like, oh, I'm going to come back at you. I'm going to hurt your feelings. You know, so I've always been really quick. I think that was something that I've just gotten even quicker. You know, like being on stage, I've just gotten even quicker and even funnier and even wittier. And I think that is a talent in itself, like, because not a lot of people can do that, you know? And there's a lot of comics don't even do crowd work, but a lot of them I have seen that are trying to kind of do crowd work because in the comedy space, it's kind of become more popular and people want to do it. But I see a lot of them, I'm like, that you making yourself look foolish, you know, like that wasn't funny. You have to be like spot on it. Like I just posted a clip last night of a recent show and I had said something to a guy and he had said something back to me and he talks like this, you know, and I was like, damn, how many packs of cigarettes did you smoke before you came in here? And he was like, I have cystic fibrosis. So most people that would have shut them down, they would have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And it would have killed the whole vibe. Me, I'm like, motherfucker, don't be trying to make me feel bad. You know, like just because your ass can't talk, you know, just because you sound like you just smoked a whole pack of Marlboro Red 100s, don't try to make me feel guilty.
Did he roll with it?
Oh, he loved it. He absolutely loved it. Like, and it was hysterical and the whole audience loved it. And it just like, was so funny and it kept the vibe up and it kept the energy up. And it's like, nobody's safe, you know, like nobody's safe at my shows. And that's the thing too, is like, I feel like when people come to my shows, regardless if they have a disability, like we're all there to laugh. We're all there to have a good time. We're there to like be funny and have a good time and laugh and just, you know, not everything be so freaking stiff. And so for them to be treated like a normal person and not treated because of their, or not how get attention because of their disability, you know, like they love that. They love being included. So I think that's a fun part of it.
And it's important if you know how to jump back from those moments. Like Madonna was just in the news, of course, because she called out a fan who wasn't standing and she's like, why won't you stand? It turns out they were in a wheelchair. And she does not know how to, she didn't, you know, and so it did. It was a moment and she apologized and, you know, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I'd have been like, stand up, give me a hug.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, there's a bit of an excuse that you have, like, that I think everybody does sign up for, that you're allowed to be aggressive.
There's definitely a line, you know, like, you want to be funny. You want to, they want to be roasted. They want you to make fun of them. But there is definitely a line. And I've learned this throughout my career. You know, especially like a lot of people will come in and they've been pre-gaming or they've had so many drinks for the opener that by the time I'm on stage, they're so hammered and they're just so excited that I'm in front of them that they scream stuff out and they yell and they're disruptive. And so I'll kind of play back on them, you know, and be like, can you shut the hell up? You know, like shut up with your loud ass. And they, I mean, the crowd eats it up every single time, but you know, sometimes you have to have people removed because they will disrupt the show for everybody else. And that's not fair to the other people that have paid money to see a show. And so sometimes you have to like have people removed from the show, but you have to do it. There's a very specific way to do it because the audience will turn on you. Like you can have the audience be like, he's a dick, you know, like, and they will boo you or turn on you. So you have to be very like, very, there's a line and you have to be very like cautious and aware of when is the right time, when is not the right time, like because you definitely don't want the audience to turn on you.
No, it's hard to get them back at that point too. It's what I've seen. Luckily I've not had it.
Yeah, very, very difficult.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back, kids. Kyle Meredith with Matt Matthews. And also, you know, it has to be said that we, you know, if you touched on a little bit, you know, the perspective that you're able to come from growing up gay in Alabama and then the perceptive culture clash of a gay man and farming, which, as I say it out loud, sounds like a musical that has yet to be written. Uh-huh. Like, it is funny, but there is representation that goes in this. Like, do you find that you are trying to make a point? Or are you, again, just there to be entertaining?
A little of both. I think something that really, really tells me that I'm doing a good job is when the straight men come to my shows. You know, straight men are coming to my shows, number one, not wanting to be there. they just see, you know, videos of me online in a robe cussing chickens out. So they're like, not my cup of tea. He's not going to be funny. He's not going to be, you know. And that's the thing, too, is there's a lot of TikTokers or comedians now, you know, like everybody thinks because they can make a funny video and it gets a lot of views that they can get on stage for 90 minutes and hold an audience. And it is not the same thing. It is very difficult. And so a lot of the straight guys, they'll come to my show not expecting to like my show, not liking me already, you know, like because I'm just not their typical thing that they would watch. And then when they come up to me after the show and they're like, bro, you're funny as shit. Like that to me is like, okay, I'm doing a good job. Because like they didn't want to be here. Number one, they did not want to be in this room. They didn't want their wife drugged them here because they didn't have anybody else to come with. And they ended up loving the show. I've even had a guy one time, he came and he was like, I'm a stand-up connoisseur. Like I love stand-up. I told my wife when she wanted to come, like not to expect anything great because just to be honest, like comedy's hard. I see your videos on Facebook, on Instagram or TikTok. To me, they're not really funny. It's not my cup of tea. He was like, but bro, you are one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen. And I was like, to me, that's a huge compliment, you know? And so when I first started, a lot of straight men didn't come to my shows. And now it's like more and more men come to my shows, you know? And so I love that because I'm able to show that, number one, you can be a gay guy and be funny. It's not a stereo. We're not all a stereotype, you know, like, yeah, I live on a farm. Yeah. I'm ridiculous and wear a robe. Like at the same time, like I still put on boots just like you do. And I still live in the South and I still know how to drive a tractor. I still do the same things that you do. I just like a little something different in a bedroom. So it's really cool to be able to kind of break that stigma and have people, you know, not expect a lot and then really enjoy it.
And on top of that, for it to be even specific, but still universal.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, and it feels like that comes natural to you too.
Yeah,
that's a nice thing. And you still got the photography. You're still doing the photography side, even with the success.
So yes and no, I do still shoot. I'm mostly shooting things that I've already had booked and I already had, you know, like, you know, planned. I don't shoot as much as I used to. I used to shoot, like when this was my full-time business, I shot, you know, a lot. However, now I maybe shoot like 1 to 2 days a week. And then I have an assistant and she's absolutely incredible. She's the COO of my business and she's just couldn't do this without her. And she shoots as well. She's also a photographer. So for the longest time, people didn't want to shoot with her because they saw me, you know, like they want to shoot with me. And I get that. But it's kind of gotten to the point where like the more that I'm successful, the more that people want to do it just because they want to come hang out with me. And like, I'm here for that. Like, I love that. But at the same time, like, we do this for a reason, you know, like we want to do this for people that really need this experience. Like we want to change people's lives. We don't want to just do it because you want to just come hang out with Matt. So Bree shoots a lot and she's been taking on, you know, that's kind of our goal is, you know, my whole life I wanted to do entertainment. Like that was my dream. Photography wasn't my dream either. It just kind of fell into my lap and I've done it for the last 10 years and I absolutely love it. That career has been absolutely everything for me. I love it. I love being able to make people feel good about themselves. But we're kind of to a place now where Bree's kind of getting to take over the reins of shooting and still have that incredible business. It's still my name. But I'm kind of getting to do my dream. You know, I'm kind of getting to follow what I wanted to do the entire time. So part of me feels a little selfish because I'm like, you know, I don't want to shoot anymore. Like I want to do what I want to do, but it's like, I've done this for everybody else. Like now it's my turn to live my dream and kind of do the things that I want to do.
You're building an empire. I mean, you're like a fashion designer. You know, you've got the whole team.
We have the store, you know, it's a whole thing. Like it's a really, really amazing brand. And I'm just really, really blessed and lucky to be able to have all of these different things happening.
Which, and the way those connect, one of the shirts, I think you're wearing, push your titties to Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That was an old shirt that we had when I was like just a photographer. And because that's something that I said to, like I said that to my clients. I'd be like, they would lay on the bed. I'd be like, girl, push your titties to Jesus. Like, get your chest up, you know? They loved it. And so I sold that shirt. Let me tell you something. I'm a hustler. I'm an entrepreneur. So like, even before I had a business, before I had a brand, like I made those shirts and sold those shirts to boudoir photographers. Okay. So like, I've always been a hustler. But now like, this is one of the shirts that we have in my store, says I hate it here. And it's just something that I would say in all, and like in my farm videos, like I'd be out and something crazy would happen. Like, I hate it here, you know? And, so this is like, people love this shirt. And, you know, but now I have a whole clothing line and a candle line and a skincare line. So there's just a lot. There's a lot going on.
Man, when you got the wave, right? Right. You ride it. So,
you just ride it. Yeah.
You know, and congratulations to you. And with this tour, you're going to be shooting a special in July. Yeah. Hometown show, right?
Hometown show.
So it's all built, like all roads lead to here with this tour.
Yeah. I'm super excited about that because my tour started in Birmingham. So my very first show that I ever performed was right here in Birmingham. That was the first time I'd ever been on stage. And I did three shows, like in a small room at a comedy club. They sold out in like 2 minutes. And then the owner of the comedy club gave me a show in the big room. It held like 400 people and it sold out in like a minute. And so then from there, I signed with an agent. I started the tour. And I've been on tour for a year. I've a little over a year now. So we'll end this specific tour in July back here in my hometown at the Alabama Theater. It's a beautiful historic theater. It's absolutely incredible. And we have two sold out shows there. And I'm really, really excited. This is my first comedy special. So super excited about that. Super nervous. I'm probably going to be shooting and sharding everywhere. Like, it is just to be able to do this is just really, really fun. And, to be able to do it in my hometown is just even more special. So I'm really excited about it.
See, now I feel like this would be the easier part. It's knowing that right afterwards, it's a whole new set of stories, right? Like it's like for a lot of comics, it's like, yeah, now I got to start over again.
Yeah. Well, I've already started working on it. So like, that's so that's the fun part is, well, it's not fun. It's stressful as hell. So this tour ends, we film the special and I have a deal with Live Nation for a second tour. And we're working, my agents and team are working on, you know, that deal and kind of, you know, finalizing all of that, but they want me to go out at the end of the year. So I'll have like a couple of months off and then we start a whole new tour with a whole new set. And I'm like, I have an incredible 90 minutes right now. Like, it's so good. And I put my heart and soul into this and it's my life and it's like everything about me. So it's really going to be hard for me to top this show. But I've already started on the second show and I performed the first 20 minutes of it at these Virginia Beach shows. I did it. It was at a comedy club. So comedy clubs are kind of like a fun way to work on new material. And I had six shows there over a weekend. And so I did the 20 minutes because I was able to tie it in with my show that I have now. And I did the first 20 minutes of the new show and it hit so well and everybody loved it. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, like, I was like, okay, I'm good.
I got nothing but confidence in you. Seriously, what you pulled off so far and the reactions you get from people. I know you're connecting out there and that's the important part. So congratulations on all the success and congratulations when that thing get the thing into her.
There you go. You got it.
I mean, I didn't put the pizzazz in it that you put in it.
You got to have you got to, when that thing gets the thing and like, you got to draw it out a little bit.
It took me forever to get rid of my accent. I mean, I've still got an accent, but you know, the deep Kentucky accent, like, and now it's like, I don't want to go back there.
I don't even hear anything because everybody makes fun of my accent. They're like, oh my God, your accent's so strong. I'm like, no, it ain't, you know, no, it ain't. I ain't even got no accent, you know, but I'm like, okay, maybe. And I go to London next week. So I'm
you're going to have an accent. Yeah, right.
Oh, they're going to eat me alive in London.
As long as I don't have my rights anymore, you know, that's drop that part of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, seriously, congratulations. It has been so great talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And my thanks to Matt's on tour, When That Thing, Get the Thing in Tour. Look for that special coming out in July. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. Again, we put out 3 new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Nick Drake and Joan Jett, The Police, Morrissey, The Black Lips, Kings of Leon, Alabama Shakes, The Black Keys, Jeff Buckley, Susan Tedeschi, John Prine, Lizzie Ngo, The Avett Brothers, The Gaslight Anthem, The Beach Boys, The Spin Doctors, Counting Crows, Moby, Lady Blackbird, Josh Ritter, and my interview with Ed O'Brien of Radiohead. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence says your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Sorry, last week I was knocking on heaven's door, sick as a dog.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.